Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we're welcoming back Dr. Paul Voss to our show. Now, Dr. Voss is the president of Ethicos, a consultancy specializing in culture, leadership, and executive coaching, and an associate professor at Georgia State University. Dr. Voss offers courses on Shakespeare, Dante, business ethics, Renaissance literature, and the history of the book. He publishes a wide variety of topics for both academic audiences and for the popular press, and regularly appears on television radio programs. He was recently profiled in the Wall Street Journal. His most recent book, Merchant Saint, co-authored with Donald Pudlow, was published in April 2025, and he is also the owner, this is a great story, he told us about it yesterday, of the world's largest marble bust of William Shakespeare. Just in case you didn't know, one existed. Today, Dr. Voss is joining us to speak about Saint Helmo Bono, who is the focus of his book, Merchant Saint, and what we can learn from his life. Go out to his website, ethicos.com, and you probably didn't even know there was a Saint Helmo Bono, but you're going to learn about him, as so we.
Amen. We'd like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through your generosity, viewers like you. If EWTN has strengthened your faith or blessed your family, we humbly ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTNmission.com, EWTNmission.com, so we may continue to bring Christ's message to the world. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. You can go to EWTNmission.com to donate. And thank you all that already have given and for all that you continue to do. Pray for us. We're all in this together, sharing the gospel to the whole world. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back with Dr. Voss. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Dr. Paul Voss. He's the president of Ethicos and the author of a wonderful book called Merchant Saint, and he's going to teach us all about that beautiful saint today. Go out to his website, ethicos.com. Well, we want you first to tell our family quickly what it is that you do with your wonderful full life, and then tell us all about Saint Helmo Bono.
Thank you for inviting me back again today. I'm delighted to be here. Yeah, so I started a consulting company about 30 years ago to help people navigate the complexities of business life, and it was predicated upon this simple idea that certain leadership characteristics are transcendent, they're true, they're universal. The struggles of trying to mediate between profit and loss and different people who work for you and the complexities of the market have been around for thousands and thousands of years, the same way that beauty has been around thousands and thousands of years. So the question is, what can classical literature, what can philosophy, what can theology tell us about navigating the complexities of modern day life? Right. So just like Shakespeare kind of serves as this litmus test for me in the artistic world, leadership and tradition will work in the business world, because there's a stigma in the world today against people who have been successful. We see this vocabulary coming out of some circles. Anybody who's rich must be evil or awful or oppressive. In my 30 years of experience with very successful executives from lots of companies, that's just not true. They seem to be good and decent men and women who are working hard, providing for their children, trying to be educated, trying to be good cultural citizens, and they need some help. So I started offering courses in the power of business narrative and leadership development. I came across this patron saint of Catholic leaders and entrepreneurs, and his name was Saint Homo Bono. This was 10 years ago. I had never heard of this saint before. I don't know if you'd ever heard of him, right? And I Googled him, and it said, Saint Homo Bono. Not much is known about Saint Homo Bono, but legend has it he was a good guy. And I went, well, the church wouldn't canonize somebody because of him being a good guy. Mm-hmm. So I started making a joke. I talked to a dear friend of mine, Dr. Don Prudlow. He's a professor over at the University of Tulsa. And I said, this Saint Homo Bono. And he goes, no, he's a very important saint. The reason why nobody's ever heard of him is that the documents of his life only exist in Latin. They've never been translated. And I said, well, let's get on that. So he's a serious scholar and a dear friend. We translated the four documents of his life. So it's the first English biography of this great saint. His incorrupt body is still in Cremona underneath the dome, to see what it could tell us about the complexities of running a business today, the complexities of understanding the market, the complexities of trying to be a good and decent human being while you're building a business. And we were stunned by what we found.
Yeah. Well, this is an amazing saint for this time. This has always been conversation and beliefs regarding industry, profit, doing that in a godly way or not a godly way, and people in excess of doing that. I mean, the conversation today in the United States of America regarding capitalism, socialism, communism,
AI.
You can't be kind of independent. It's all about the nation or the philosophy of government. So this is so appropriate for this age and time, how to do business right and what its foundation should be. So elaborate.
Doing well by doing good. Well, I mean, it was only 2 years ago that an insurance executive was shot dead in New York City, mm-hmm. right? What was his crime? Well, he was rich and he was in the insurance. I don't advocate violence against anybody. I was horrified by this. Mm-hmm. And again, when you see that the managerial class of this society works hard, they get a lot of bad press. If you just go look in history, the Merchant of Venice and Charles Dickens, the Scrooge characters, mm-hmm. and all the movies that we see today, if you have some level of wealth, you're a villain. Mm-hmm. Well, wealth doesn't happen by accident. People work really hard. Again, many people in my life that I know who have been successful, my brothers, my sisters, my father, are very generous, very philanthropic. So we tried to write this book to re-examine what does it mean to be a Christian and to have accumulated wealth? What are the obligations? What are the threats? What are the temptations of the world? What do the Gospels say about it? What does this man, Homo Bono, so in a nutshell, at age 50, he decided he had enough money and he said, I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm gonna start giving all my money away. Mm-hmm. His wife goes, no, you're not. I like my clothes. I like my food. So they took all of his money away from him. They took his clothes away from him because he was handing them out to the poor. He started giving his food away and it created marital discord because he said, we have enough. We need to give the pledge to the less fortunate because mm-hmm. the Gospels give us that mandate, right? Mm-hmm. And they finally came up with an agreement. He owned some land outside of Cremona where he grew grapes. He cultivated those grapes, he was able to sell those grapes, and he gave all that money to the poor. So whenever you see his iconography, he's got a borsa or a purse mm-hmm. in his hand because his number one thing was to give the money to the people less fortunate because as an entrepreneur, he goes, I can always make more. Mm-hmm. I can always make more. And so you look at that story and you realize many, many very successful people are doing that in the world today. Look at all the hospitals and all of the schools that are endowed by, look at all the people who send money to this network. Mm-hmm. And I think that many of the people in society today who have made large amounts of money are very, very generous, and they're contributing to the spirit of St. Homo. So we wrote the book to try and get a really philosophical and historical account of why they made him a saint in 1199.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is nothing new under the sun. The only thing that rises up is the evil of man or the goodness of man, right? In the way that he practices his life and the way he lives out his virtues and the way he conducts his business, mm-hmm. the way he conducts and is in his marriage. And so you like awaken this saint to the people. How is he being received and his importance?
Well, two things. I think that money reveals who we already are. If we're kind and courteous and generous, money is going to reflect that, right? Yeah. If we're stingy and mean and cold-hearted, mm-hmm. money's just going to magnify that as well. So the scriptures doesn't say that money's the root of all evil. It says it's the love of money. Mm-hmm. So money can be a force for good or money can be a force for bad. The vast majority of the people I know, as I said, use it for the force of good. Mm-hmm. I think everywhere we've talked about it, it's been very well received. It's chastised some people. It's said to some people, maybe I need to give a little more. Maybe mm-hmm. I have to be more generous. Maybe I have to look at my relationships with my workers to make sure that. But the senior leaders that I've talked to take leadership very seriously, and they want to do it with the power of business narrative. They want to do it with just compensation and fairness and transparency. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we see story after story mm-hmm. after story, but I'm continually amazed and impressed by how many of the business leaders that I've come in contact with are cultured and learned mm-hmm. and considerate, and they love their spouses mm-hmm. and they want the best for their workers.
And if they're doing something wrong, with the great hope, because they're trying to do everything, they're gonna correct course. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna say, how did I do this wrong? I got to this place, now how can I be a blessing to somebody else instead right. of being that great vice of greed.
Right. Now, leadership isn't obviously a Catholic question. You mm-hmm. don't have to be Catholic to be interested in leadership. But for a Catholic who would be reading this book, something's really interesting. In 1197, this Homo Bono died, and the funeral was huge. Mm-hmm. And they wrote to Innocent III, and they said, something special is here, because mm-hmm. look at the size of his funeral. Mm-hmm. This must be evidence of some holiness. And the Pope, for the first time, said, now, that's human reputation. We want to have God's providence. They required two miracles. It's the first case ever where two miracles were required for the sanctification of holiness to be inscribed in the saints. Mm-hmm. And so this is where the theology of sainthood was actually invented. Yeah. He was the only lay person in the entirety of the Middle Ages to be canonized, to give the early modern capitalists a model of heroic virtue, which we mm-hmm. which we need today, obviously, because mm-hmm. business is more complicated now than ever.
Mm-hmm. And that helps explain your title, The Merchant Saint, The Church, The Market, yeah. and The First Lay Canonization. I took that to mean that he was the first lay person that became a saint, but you said no, because you have the word canonization, because yeah. that process was then formalized.
Mm-hmm. Been formalized. But listen, the market gets beat up all the time. The markets happen everywhere. The Facebook marketplace, the Quick Mart, the Walmart, mm-hmm. markets are just two people getting together to agree on selling. A market is efficient when both the buyer and the seller are happy. Mm-hmm. Listen, make no mistake about it, the market has produced more wealth for more people than any other economic system in the history of the world. And socialism has been tried, and it's failed over and over again. Go to North mm-hmm. Korea, go to Cuba, go to Venezuela. The free market, though, is the most amenable because our human agency is respected. But the free market can be abused. Of course it can be. Mm-hmm. We're not saying it's perfect. We're just saying it's better than any other economic system out there. And it requires virtue. This is mm-hmm. the thing that we have to remember. It requires virtue in order for a free market to work.
Right.
You know, we had recently the text on the merchant who seemed like he was looking for pearls and mm-hmm. then found the pearl of great price. Now, how does that continue to be a merchant, but then to learn there's a pearl of great price? How does that inform my business once I understand this and how I do my business, what the aim of my business is, which in part is profit, but it's also how do I treat my people that are working for me or whatever with dignity? And how am I sowing into what God desires regarding the kingdom and my final judgment and what I'm doing with the stuff I got? Exactly. And nobody's going to dictate it. The government's not going to dictate it to you or whatever, but it's going to be like, you have a holy fear and reverence for God.
A very simple example is when you go to Chick-fil-A. When you say thank you to someone at Chick-fil-A, they always say, my pleasure. If you go to most every other fast food restaurant, you say thank you, they go, no problem.
Right.
There's a big difference between no problem, like, oh, you're bothering me wasn't that mm-hmm. big of an issue, between my pleasure. When we have clients, we want to serve our clients. We have a fiduciary responsibility. So of course I'm always looking for the best program to give my best client. I'm always looking for the best pearl to give my best client because they are people that I serve. So mm-hmm. business can be a way of serving and removing the friction from that transaction. So every business owner I know is on the lookout for a good deal so they can pass it along to their clients mm-hmm. and their patrons.
Right. The journey of life is the wisdom of that pearl, is casting your pearl before the swine. So that's like, you're not going to get it, you know, because your intent is not for good. Your intent is for evil. And it's the wise man and the learned man and the virtuous man that will be able to sort and sift that way.
He had this epiphany at age 50, right? An epiphany, the great awakening, where he realized enough is enough. I have enough. I'm moving from accumulation to significance. How am I now going to make sure that I can be a good steward of these resources? So he really recognized that everything that he had wasn't his. It was because the blessings that he had received. And as we age, we start thinking in those terms, hopefully, but why not get people to start thinking of those terms even in the younger?
Right.
So the leadership lessons in this book, I'd like to think, are helpful to anybody who's trying to start off and be a servant agent while they're growing a business.
Mm-hmm. What does the church say about work?
Yeah, this is such a good question. The church, if you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says very little about business, actually. It doesn't talk about profit. It doesn't talk about taxes. It doesn't talk about all the different labor statistics and stuff, because they say that it falls outside of the realm of faith and morals.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, maybe, but for practical purposes, anyone who's ever run a business knows that it's a very moral endeavor. It's a morally serious endeavor. So the church says that we can never use other people, we can never exploit them, we can never extort them, but it doesn't give us specifics, generally speaking. That's why the stories of the saints are important, because they give us examples of people who really lived it and were dedicated to truth and justice and fairness and hard work and the ability to make a profit.
Right, and showing up every day for the audience of one, just Jesus, and giving God your best, whether you're an employer or an employee.
Listen, I think we have an apostolic mandate to be excellent at what we do. Do you realize? We can't take our talents and put them under a bushel.
Right.
Every class that I teach, I like to believe I try and do the very best job I can, because it might be the last class. But I have an apostolic mandate, because if these are my talents, I have to use them. And the business is the same way. We have to show up every single day. And that's a way of saying thank you to our clients, our customers, our shareholders, and our stakeholders.
And God.
Absolutely.
And good God. Let's say I did it.
Well, Dr. Voss, you did an excellent job here today.
Thank you.
And it was truly inspirational. And hopefully it'll inspire much pondering on the different areas, the way God reveals himself, and into this conversation, just critical at this time.
So important.
Regarding, you know, just this whole, the merchant and sales and income and what you do with it and how you do your work.
Well, thank you for providing this forum, but this is the crucial conversation moving forward. What sort of society do we want in terms of our human freedoms in promoting our own economic welfare?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to EWTN.
Thank you.
To have you back on soon.
Thank you.
You
God
can purchase you. Merchant Saint at saintaugustine.net or amazon.com. You can go to Dr. Voss's website as well. So plenty of places to get this book. I'm sure this has piqued an interest with lots and lots of people. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we have Father John Paul with us again. And Father, what did you think of all the things that Dr. Voss was sharing with us?
Well, I get to read his book that he gave me, a copy of his book, and can't wait to learn about this saint in particular. I think it's very applicable. I'm sure that many people watching, were their interest was piqued. Just people that work hard. I mean, I think my parents in general, my mom's still alive, but my dad just died. He's an example of me, of somebody that was a hard worker. You know, 55 years as the town barber, went into business for himself, and showed me the example of good, honest, hard work. I think that we need examples like this. I can't wait to learn more about this particular saint. And just to seek his intercession for people.
Right.
I mean, so many people that I know that do have some means, some people that have been in their life because of their profession, they have means, but they want to be good people. You know, they want to be virtuous people. And I think there's so many people in today's world that need guidance. And we look to the saints as the guideposts. In a way, it's like heaven. If you think of heaven as like a big trail, the saints are the signposts, the lamp posts, that's a better word, the lampposts that guide us to eternal life. Mm-hmm. They keep us on the straight and narrow.
Right. And they help us how we are to live and be, right? And then you could, whatever their virtues were, you can have them pray for you to say, lead me, guide me. People in business and being a leader, you know, you want to... It's a responsibility, and you want to do it well, and it can be confusing, and you can be caught off by the world in a minute, you know, and greed can capture your heart, and all these ugly attachments to this world can capture you.
Well, virtue is what, you know, takes the taproot out of vice. Mm-hmm. You know, vice needs to be eradicated from our life. The saints teach us how to live virtue.
Right. Well, so all that instruction to be a godly merchant, business person, but we're in a society today that the other, it's flipped. Mm-hmm. So you're evil. It's not right for you to have this. Mm-hmm. It needs to belong to the government. It needs to be apportioned by the government, by a central thing. Instead of, you're free to seek happiness as you understand that, but you better understand too, there's a judgment day and what you're doing with your money and investing it in treasures in heaven, investing in people that will welcome you into the eternal habitations when your time is done. That will be hell or heaven with what you do with your wealth and well-being. So, Father, just close us in a prayer and a blessing.
Sure, and we ask the blessing of Almighty God upon our EWTN family. We thank you for all of the generosity that you do, that you contribute to EWTN and allow us to contribute to the upbuilding of society by what we do. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go
Thank
in peace.
You. Thank you so much, Father. Well, what a beautiful sharing that we had today and yesterday with Dr. Voss. Be sure to get his book and just contemplate, he said, just think, number your own days because they are numbered. And how best I can please you with whatever's going on in my life. So keep it on EW10. Bye now.